I'm probably atypical in one way of a lot of people brought up in the church, and I'm also atypical, not like a lot of other people brought up in the church. I am typical in the sense that I'm a child of Christian parents, so I don't have a dramatic testimony because I'm a covenant child, and or was a covenant child, and I was brought up to know and love the truth. So no Damascus Road experience for me. So from a human point of view, it's not a very interesting and exciting story. You know, I wasn't outwardly in the gutter or anything like that. But nonetheless, my story is just as miraculous as anyone else, because I also was spiritually dead. And like, it might not have looked so dramatic on the outside, and I can't tell you exactly when I moved from darkness to light. Spiritually, as it were, because I never outwardly didn't believe, but there was a point at some point. And so I was brought up in a Christian home. I'll say a little bit more than that in a minute. So I'm typical of many people brought up in church that way, and I think that's a great thing. I don't think we don't need to have dramatic life experiences. If you're one of the youngsters here that's in a Christian home, you don't need to sort of go wild and mental and go away from the faith and then come back. It can be a very gentle thing to know and love Jesus, and it's one of the great blessings and great privileges of being brought up in a Christian home. It comes to us gradually and gently, and avoid some of the excesses sometimes that can happen. So I'm typical of one way. But I'm atypical in another sense, because I'm 55 and I've only lived 9 years outside of Armagh. Okay, so that's pretty atypical. Pretty weird. Okay, so I was brought up in Armagh, in other words. My dad was a minister. So I grew up in Armagh, and then I left Armagh just for a few years to study and work. And then I became a minister, so I'm back in Armagh. So I've lived for a long time in Armagh.
It's on the
files. I really just want to say two things. One is in terms of the two influences in my life, other than God, obviously, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Two really important influences, and I think this is significant for all of us. One is my parents. You see, my dad was a minister, I would say, and apart from the first 6 months of my life, I also lived in Edinburgh and St. Columbus. Well, I didn't live in St. Columbus, but my dad was the minister in St. Columbus then, which is where I ended up, which is also a bit weird. So I grew up in St. Columbus, a very different church then, but my dad was the minister. So my dad was the minister, and I was the minister's son. So be good to your minister's children, okay? Because it's really tough. Because everyone thinks you're greedy two shoes, and you're the minister's kid, so you're treated differently. You're supposed to be better and behave better than everyone else, which is patently not true in my experience, in my case. So my parents, in terms of my coming to faith, my parents were the huge influence. There's two influences. One was one I'm taking my parents as one. My parents, their love, their unconditional love, their guidance, their teaching, their care, the time they knew when I needed freedom, and they knew when I needed collectively discipline and freedom and love and teaching. And the amazing thing, maybe particularly about my dad, for me, was that I saw him every week in the school preaching. And the great thing was, I didn't really see anything different in the house. So there was a consistency. He wasn't perfect in any way. I'm not trying to suggest that. But there was a consistency, there was a genuineness of who he was, from what he preached to how he lived in the house. And that was hugely influential to me. So there was no hypocrisy. There was no double standards. There was no say, play that in public. And that had a huge influence. They were very ordinary people.
Okay, I'm not too nice, quiet.
They weren't superheroes. They had a genuine faith. And they lived out every day for us to see as children. So they had a huge influence on my life becoming a Christian, because I was attracted by what they had, as well as what eventually I was hearing in the book that I was hearing for quite a long time, and what eventually I did. So I think that's a great encouragement to Christian parents here. The astonishing and powerful influence you have on your children, for good or ill. It doesn't matter what they're getting in school, at one level. It doesn't matter what they're getting from a friend. By far the biggest influence in a child's life is school. So that's a great encouragement and it's a great challenge to us. And it certainly driven me to, as a parent, to the Lord Jesus again and again, for nothing else than for forgiveness, for making a mess of it. But to tell that to your children is also significant, because they need to know that you made mistakes and pull rubbish out sometimes. So my parents were a huge influence in my faith. And the other great influence were free church camps, actually. So from age of 10 I went to free church camps. And having people, leaders, for example, maybe just a few years older than me, who were Christians, and also people your own age who were Christians or were interested in the Bible. That made a huge difference to me. I longed for camp from about one day when we were home. For 364 days, I longed for the next one to come. They were fantastic. My second camp ever was in Harris, in Carver, actually, in the old school. It was a legendary camp. The camps in these days were absolutely legendary. They were much more mental than they are now. But I'm not going to all the things that happened, but it was a great camp. But you know, you got great teaching from leaders who were, you know, it was slightly different from church. Because church, the preaching was something you should go over your head, didn't quite get it. But the camp, it was really relevant at exactly your level. And then you had long discussions for you. That's what the question sometimes wasn't serious. You know, either a free church context or my dad being a minister, you wouldn't get to go. I didn't support him. My dad was the last person I was there. In some ways, not because I was scared of him, but just because. So camps were hugely influential. And I think, again, what has stuck with me right from my Christian life is the importance of having Christian friends, Christians your own age. However you find them, that's a really significant thing. It's also very important for older and younger, but for people your own age that you're accountable to, that you are friends with, that you grow up together. I shared a flat with, as a student with Neil McMillan and Donnie McMillan, all of whom have ended up in ministry, and we've been really close friends ever since. And that is one of the greatest blessings I think I can say that I have in my life. So friends and parents were hugely influential on me. So I don't know exactly when I became a Christian. I kind of believed, never consciously, just because I was never atheist or anything like that. I recognised in my teen years
that I could be a Christian
just based on the fact that my dad or mum made that decision publicly and confessed Jesus as a Christian and in our context, similar to here, that was why I'm professing the faith and becoming a member of the church. And I did that at the age of 16. It was 40 years ago. And then in these times, that was quite unusual. In St. Thomas, in our context, I was pretty young to become. And I remember at the time, it was a terrifying experience. 15 besuited elders in a room, all about 75 or 100. And you were asked to go in, and they were all looking very solemn and serious. And you were asked to go and test for a 16-year-old. That was absolutely wrecked going in as a 16-year-old. And I remember the first question one of the elders asked me, and I said, "This will not go outside this room." was from Sharpie. Sorry. I didn't know I was going to say that. It just happened. He slipped out there. He said, are you not too young to become a member? I'm not knowing what to say. I gibbered something for a while. My dad had gone out with me. My dad had missed it. He left the room because I didn't think that was very fair. And Professor Collins, some of you old Professor Collins, he came and said, which wasn't really very comforting because he was even more scary than anyone else. But anyway, so I did then. That was fine. But I remember, interestingly, years after, this same gentleman coming up to me and telling me that he was seriously rebuked by my answer, which I have no idea what I said. And he felt convicted it was a wrong question he'd asked me. And I said, right it was.
Sometimes
these things happen. I was very glad I professed faith then, because a year later I left home and moved to Aberdeen to study. And I knew at that point that because I professed faith and people knew I was a Christian, and the great thing was that I went to church there, immediately there was guys there from camps that had been running, so I immediately felt part of it. I know if I hadn't professed faith, it would have been much easier for me to slip away. I've never said anything. And so I think it was a very important step for me to take in all my doubt and struggles and weak faith. But I would have to also say that probably most of my battles spiritually have come since professing faith. It's not like you profess faith and then everything's easy. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Quite often that's where more doubts come in, and more struggles, more battles, things happen in your life. God uses things. You're more aware of your sins sometimes. Sometimes you backslide badly, and all these things happen in the Christian life.
Where'd you find it?
I'm sure I can testify to all of that. The example of parents and the support and friendship and significance of having young friends, or at that time young friends, were really influential in me becoming a Christian. That God used to help me become a Christian. I think in our context, in a free church context, camps have been by far the most profitable and fruitful evangelistic spiritual work we've been doing. Nearly all the people, my friends, all the people I know, and many of them stayed in the church and became strong Christians and leaders through the work of camps. And I think they're very much worthy of our support.
Tell me what
I ended up back in St. Columbus 25 years after we were very much against my will. I was a minister, I was in Ruskin in the Highlands, very happy there. And it was just after that there was a big split in the Free Church in 2000, and St. Columbus was probably the worst affected congregation. 80% of people left, it was only 20 people left. And it was very sad, people from the outside, as someone who had grown up there, see that. Someone wrote me a letter and said he'd come down and preach. And it was a weird experience, because the moment I read that letter, I knew I would end up there. I didn't tell my wife. I prayed about it. And I'm not one really for receiving verses from the Bible, especially God speaking in that kind of way. But he did very powerfully. In my daily reading, I was just praying for guidance. And over the course of weeks, two very, very powerful verses. One was, I will do a new thing. And it was from Isaiah chapter 19, and then from Acts. I have many people in the city. The two verses that really struck with me again, very, very powerfully about. It was weird, actually. I was reading through Acts at the time, and not by reading. Every second verse was, and he headed down south, and he moved to the south. They took the road to the south. Eventually, I had to say to my wife, I think we're on the road here, by the way. So through many tears and sadness, and it all happened very quickly. I ended up working in a church, maybe 250, 300 people thought what's going on in Ireland, end up the same colour as this dark, flimsy, horrible, brown, varnished wood that made the place look as dark as sin. And 25 people in terrible singing. What have I done? But what kept me going, what kept us going as a family at that time was just these promises that God was working and a purpose. So, God's been very gracious and beautiful. It's been an exciting journey. There's been lots of battles and struggles, but God's been good. And I don't think it's the end of this story, and I'll move on and someone else will pick on the story, which is good. But that's really important.
Just before you go, how can it be for you and St. Columbus?
I think one of the challenges in a place like St. Columbus, where we are a city centre, it's a gathered church, it's very transient. So there's always people coming and going. So last summer, 50 people left the congregation, about a quarter of the congregation. That was a huge blow because some of them were really poor families who moved on or moved to a different area. Professional guys who moved to the city with maybe families, they tend not to work in one career now. It's, you move career all the time, or you move place even if you don't move career. So people move on. So 50 last summer was the nightmare, maybe 17, 18, or 20 this summer. And that's challenging because you have to keep refocusing to welcome new people, get to know them, give your heart to them, then they leave and you lose part of your heart, and then you start again, and you have to kind of refocus what we're doing as a church because people have all forgotten what the purpose is. What we've tried very hard to do is a city centre church, a strong community that is looking to reach out to the city by planting churches, because the way we believe the gospel will flourish in the city by planting more and more churches, because there's only about 3% of the population of them going to go to any church. Evangelical church, less than that. The population had is far higher than that. Far higher. And there's 500,000 people in Edinburgh. And so we believe that by planting churches we can reach more. And we have reached more people. Between the three churches we've planted, there's probably 800 or 900 people now. Not all obviously new, some moved down here as an officer, obviously. But maybe a third of them in the plant centre are new people to the gospel and to church. So please pray that it would be wise, because we are thinking about a fourth church plant, but I can take a deep breath and fear when I think about all that will be involved in that. So pray that we'll have wisdom to know what to do and where to do it, if we're going to do it, God will make that clear. I just pray for our poor people particularly that they will not, it's not they'll lose heart, but they'll just, they're knackered, they're tired doing what they do. And I'm always asking, be welcome, be open, be look out for the visitor animals. And that can be tiring, and they need to be nurtured and nourished themselves. So pray for our poor people, they do so much for the gospel and our leadership. So that's really good. Thank you.